And so they persuade all the people, all the leaders, all the notable people, not every single one, but a great deal of them, pushing these people towards this direction. And they're fickle. They're willing to do this. And they think they're doing right. When they would put, you know, in Moses' time, he put to death all kinds of people for crimes. And to them, this is no different. He's another criminal. The Romans don't look at him as a criminal. But to them, he's a criminal. For blasphemy is not a crime to the Romans, but it is to the Jews. And so, in making himself the Son of God, in their sight, they have made himself equal with God, and that was a sin. Except that it was true. But they could not see that. And that's where the letter of the law becomes a stumbling block to people. Because in their sight, he's violating things. He's saying things that cannot be. Because they don't believe in him. And they're calling the blood of Christ on him, on themselves, and on their children. And that doesn't mean that, like, now God has cursed them, but that's what they cursed themselves in their own words. All I'm saying is that's what they said to themselves. And it wasn't a curse in their eyes. They're saying, we are willing to accept responsibility for this. We believe this man ought to die. He is worthy of death. So let his blood be on us. They thought they were taking an honor to themselves, that the Romans shouldn't take the honor of putting to death this blasphemer. That rather they should be the ones to take that honor to themselves. We put to death the blasphemer. We put to death the infidel, so to speak. And it seemed a good thing. You know, whosoever kills you will think that they're doing God's service, Jesus said in John 16. And so they thought they were doing God's service. They thought they were doing well. The Pharisees, in their own way, thought also that they were doing well. They were following the law. You know, we don't want to buy the field. We can't take this into the treasury of the temple because it's blood money. According to the law, we've got to buy a potter's field. You know, and according to the law, they didn't think they were doing something illegal. They didn't think they were consciously doing something evil. Not to say that their hearts aren't evil, because there's all kinds of evil in the hearts of men. The Lord knows. But that they justified themselves in their own eyes. Just like Pilate. But that doesn't fly. That doesn't mean it's absolutely acceptable before God. Like, oh yes, Pilate, you're not guilty. Oh yes, Jews, good job, you meant well. Don't they say that the road to hell is paved with good intentions? It's not a biblical saying, but it can be so. The people who mean well do evil. So it's not like just religious people. It's people of conviction will go to great lengths in their conviction, even running over the rights of others. And I love to live at peace with those who will not run over the rights of others, whatever they believe. You know, I want to live at peace with people. I don't want to run over other people's rights. I just want the right to preach the gospel freely to those who will hear it. And when Christ comes to take over the world, well, then we can deal with that situation. And obviously, it's like I was talking about the other day. When circumstances change, the orders change. So this narrative is pretty clear. Pretty concise. Verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus to the common hall and gathered to him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit on him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. It's a sedative. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And they set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. There were there two thieves crucified with him, the one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him, said with the scribes and the elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. These details of his crucifixion match things that can be visible on the Shroud of Turin. And it's one of the reasons I have mixed feelings about the movie The Passion of the Christ, because I like the foreign language element of that. I love that kind of stuff. I love the subtitles. I love that feeling that it's something else. But the way they portray the crucifixion, I get accused often of saying I minimize it by saying that I think they overdid it. The way they portray it, it almost makes Jesus like a Superman instead of being just a man. You know, it wasn't so much, you know, when he was crucified, they weren't standing there in awe. At least not his enemies. Like, wow, he can sure take a punishment. I mean, he's not Rocky. Give me another. Give me another. I mean, it's ridiculous. I think it goes a little too far. You know, the shroud shows exactly the instruments that were torturing him. That they used the kind of whip. They didn't use the right kind of whip. That bugs me. Especially since they're Catholics who made it, and you think they would take some time to look and see the thing that is understood to be his burial cloth, what that indicates. I want to go to one of my pillars. Psalm 22. For the longest time, this psalm spoke so much to me that Jesus Christ was truly the Son of God. And it speaks so closely to the testimony of Christ that the Jews ended up changing the words. Changing the words. And that is proved by the Dead Sea Scrolls. Because there's one phrase. They pierced my hands and my feet. In the midst of this psalm. That they felt the necessity of changing to a lion. A lion, my hands and my feet. Making no sense, but the words are similar. So by just changing a little mark, they were able to alleviate that little problem. Now Jesus is in a little while in Matthew going to quote the first verse of this psalm. This is the crucifixion psalm. A lot of the details we just read of, the scourging, you know, the treatment, the mocking, all these things speak directly to what happened to him. And so much that people who understand that the Dead Sea Scrolls, which were existing before Christ, or about the same time, or before any Christian influence,